I said 1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
1, 2, 3, are you ready for this?
People, get ready.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Gather around your radio now for
Uzi and Aaron.
It's the biggest result in world sport ever, and it's Australia. It's the underdog. We are through in the World Cup. Unbelievable. I mean, no one knew this was going to happen. What the hell?
No one gave us a chance. And, you know, we should all spare a thought for Princess Mary.
Well, she's part of the opposition. She's dirt to us now.
Sorry?
I don't care.
I like it.
Suck it and rack off, Mary.
Yeah.
We don't care about you. I've forgotten that she was the Queen of Denmark.
Right? Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
It is incredible. And Lecky with just this amazing goal. In fact, why am I even talking about it? Ed, you do it. How did he score it?
Denmark were pressing home their advantage because France threw the game against Tunisia. Because as we know,
enough of your conspiracy
scumbag surrender monkeys. And so because they're too arrogant and they're horrific. And then so Australia, they score, Tunisia score, words coming through to the stadium. And then Matthew Lecky on a break because Denmark were trying to press home their advantage. And on a break, he twisted them inside and out and slammed a shot past Kasper Schmeichel.
Can we hear it one more time?
Yes, please.
Goldberg goes down. Suter recovers. And a break here for Riley McGree. It's on for Matthew Lecky. Matthew Lecky cuts back inside. One way, then the other. And he scores for Australia. Matthew Lecky embraces the moment for the Socceroos.
And can you tell us about Matthew Lecky, Ed? Like, what's his story?
He plays for Melbourne City now, but he had a good career in Europe. He played in Germany.
Yeah.
He played in the sort of the top and the sort of middling divisions there. And then he came back to Australia and he's been one of our better performers for a number of years, but hasn't had the sort of goal return that you'd hope of a man of his skill.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I've always been a Matthew Lecky guy.
I've never heard you say that.
I've never heard you mention his name.
No, I will go back. I've always been a Lecky guy. I've always believed in Lecky.
I don't remember hearing it.
No, I have.
Start this now. It's sad.
I've always been a Lecky guy.
I just can't speak to that.
I have been.
I don't.
I've supported him. I thought this guy has it.
How do you spell his last name?
L-E-C-K-I-E. I'm a Lecky guy. And we need to go to Doha.
Yeah, enough.
Where are we going?
Yeah, we're going to Doha. Adam Peacock from Code Sports was in the stadium. He will speak to us next about what it was like.
Uzi, Ed and Aaron.
The excitement in Australia is off the charts because we are through in the World Cup and in a boil over to end all boil overs. Can we go there right now?
Yeah, from codesports.com.au. Our man Adam Peacock, how are you feeling?
Ed, I've got four children, and I've seen them all being born, and that
is it came to
of those four human beings coming into the earth this morning. Watching that was just unbelievable. Very close. And when one of them muck up when I get home, this will go up to fourth, and they'll be relegated to fifth.
Yeah, at course, least. Mate.
It was the moment where Australia scored that goal was just. Can you try to describe your feelings?
Where we're sitting, we're in the media section. So we're in this press tribune, which is all very official. And, you know, you need your ticket to get in, your accreditation and all that. You flush it, you show it, you make sure you're doing the right thing, have your computer plugged in. And then when it went in, I started punching the air like an idiot. I was a bit like Laurie Lawrence back in 1988.
Yeah.
And then I realised where I was, and I thought, oh, I'm going to get booted here, so I better calm down and start yelling under my breath. It was extraordinary. It was just an extraordinary goal. Probably the greatest ever Socceroos goal, certainly at a World Cup.
I agree.
It was amazing. And you know, Adam, that I've always been a Lecky guy, don't you?
For God's sake.
It's tragic.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're a bit of a bandwagon guy, so I get it. So,
thank you for calling it out for what it is, Adam.
Thank you.
So what thank next you, Adam. Now, Adam? What happens next?
I go and try and find a beer in Doha. That's what happens. It's easier said than done, but I'll give it a go. I did make the point to my colleagues that Doha doesn't have the greatest amount of alcohol in the world, and I dare say it's going to have none after tonight.
Yeah,
the population in the area.
Have you been hugging? Have you been hugging people, mate? I mean, obviously, every Australian is finding each other, and are we embracing people we've never met before?
Oh God, yeah, yeah. Total strangers are your best friend. Absolutely, anyone just remarkable. I'm going up the guitar and yelling, I'm hugging telegraph poles.
Well, you can read and see.
But also, it's Sunday, yeah? Is it
so
Sunday?
This Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday.
Yeah, 6 a.m. Sunday, so slightly more palatable.
Oh, 6 a.m.
What's the late game?
6 a.m. Sunday, so 10 p.m.
Oh, Sunday morning.
So it's Saturday night, and we're playing probably, or depending on, it'll be all over this, Argentina or Poland. So if we play Argentina, it's taking on the greatest player of all time. So that'll be cool.
But also in a time slot that most Australians can get up for or will be up for, this is going to be unbelievable. God almighty, we're super excited.
Yeah, and I would hope in Sydney that some kind of live site premiere is set up if possible.
What about one of the big stadiums?
Get on that bandwagon, can you guys?
One of the big stadiums should open.
Wanderers Stadium.
I reckon you'll get 50,000 there.
Yeah, should do a Wanderers Stadium. Right. Adam Peacock, you can read and see all about it on the fantastic codesports.com.au live from Doha.
I reckon he's still in shock, honestly. This is extraordinary. We've got to go.
Go where? To Doha?
To Doha.
I'm all in. I am all in. We honestly, surely this is great content. We've got one more day now. Let's finish strong by not being here.
Hey, did you get up? Did you get up for the game? How do you feel this morning? How is your life post this incredible victory? Did you get up and watch it? 13-10-60.
I've got a terrible admission to make when we come back.
A terrible admission?
A terrible admission.
Susie, Ed and Aaron.
So a lot of people are waking up now to the news that Australia beat Denmark and are now through to the next round of the World Cup. It was an amazing result. No one expected it. I'm going to make an admission right now, which is hard for me to say.
What?
I didn't get up for it. I didn't get up. I let this nation down. But as my wife said to me, when I told her this morning, I said, honey, I didn't get up and they won. You know what she said? If you had got up, they would have lost.
Oh.
So you have served the nation then. You've done the right thing by everyone.
So in not watching it, I don't think I can watch the next one now.
No.
Can I not watch it?
Nope. Tell you who did. Lee from Mascot. What time did you get up, Lee?
I got up straight at kickoff. I was so excited for the game. Matthew Lecky, get around him.
You've always been a Lecky guy, haven't you, Lee?
I very much have. Although, Hughesy, after hearing that, I think you should be banned from watching all Socceroos games going forward, mate.
Mate, if it'll get them across the line, I'll burn my TV. I'll do anything for the Socceroos to win the World Cup. I'd poke my own eyes out. If you could say to me, the Socceroos are going to win the World Cup, right, get the acid, pour them in.
Wow.
I mean, that's how much
I just
love
don't
this
know
nation.
How that there could be any kind of direct correlation between that. I'm struggling. In other words, I think you're safe. I reckon you're safe. Lee, are you having some drinks now or was it a sober experience?
It's a sober experience, although I'm having lots and lots of coffee now. For the rest of the workday. Yeah.
Did you watch on your own, Lee? Were you... Or not? Was there anyone with you watching?
Well, I woke up early. The rest of the family, they were all asleep. I had the young kids, you know, all in bed. And so I was, when Lecky scored, I was, you know, screaming into the pillow, fist pumping the air and just having probably an aneurysm or something, just losing my mind.
Do you have any friends you could text? Were you like in anything going on? Were you contacting any other individuals? It was all internal for you.
Oh, no, 100%. I had the boys in the group chat, all the soccer boys. Shout out Amy, shout out the boys. We were all up and about. It was amazing. Get around us.
Good on you, Lee. $50 from Swish. You've earned it. What a great person.
He doesn't need it, mate. He doesn't need another scene in his life. He had that moment. We got someone in our group. Have we got a Beck? You're one of our great producers. Who are you friends with?
I am childhood friends with Graham Arnold's daughter.
Arnie, who is now the super coach to end all super coaches, the guy who masterminded Australia winning two games at a World Cup. It's never been done before. What's he like?
Oh, he was always so lovely from what I can remember. Look, it was a long, long time ago when I was in primary school. But, yeah, he was always so nice. He was always, yeah, he was always around, always at school things. Yeah, just a great guy.
So you were there when he was assistant to Gus Hiddink and back in the 2006 World Cup, yeah?
Yeah, I was. I actually gave my friend, she went along to the World Cup, and I gave her a soccer ball to get the team to sign for my dad. And I've never seen my dad so happy about anything in his life. He started crying. It was his Father's Day present, and he just stood there crying. He still brings it up to this day.
Oh. Wow. I'm just trying to think how many other friends of hers gave her soccer balls to take all the way over to the World Cup. What a punish you were.
Yeah, I know how to do it. I know how to do it.
Worth it, though.
But you're still friends with her. You went to her wedding last year,
yeah,
is that
right?
Yeah,
I went to her wedding last year, yeah.
And her dad walked her down the aisle, Graham Arnold?
Yes, he did. He was there.
Oh, come on. He's still. I mean, the thing that he could manage to get to his daughter's wedding, you know, 12 months out from a World Cup.
He's not going to miss his daughter's. See, this is what annoys me so much about men is that he's such a good guy because, Beck, what an amazing dad that he made his daughter's wedding a year out from the World Cup.
Good on him.
Yeah, good on him. What a great dad. What a hero.
That is working overtime. Yeah. His family happy. Susie, Ed and Aaron.
First name decoder.
Indiana.
INDIYANA.
No. Oh, well, you tell us.
INDY-ANNA.
This is going to be a big day.
Yeah, that's what we do here. We try to decode names that you think would be easy to spell, but they're not.
That's so true. Let's start with Bonnie in Blacktown. Bonnie, is it your friend's daughter's name?
Yes, it's Ryan.
Okay.
Mm. Come on, Aaron, you go first. This is just general Socceroos.
Okay, Ryan. R-Y-E, like the bread.
That's good.
O-N.
No. Really
good. All right, Ryan. R-H-Y-I-A-N.
No.
Okay, Ryan. R-Y... A-H-N.
No.
Just one last time. Ryan. R-I-N. R-I-O-N. R-I-O-N. All right, give it to us.
Erin was close, the first up. It's R-Y-E-A-N-N-E.
Oh, whoa.
Ryan.
That was a real good effort.
Yeah, that is incredible.
Good effort.
It's a girl. Yep. So, Anne, yep. I think... On the end.
Ryan. That's brilliant. I love that
Thank you, Bonnie. We're away.
You're in form, Aaron. You might be able to get one here.
I hope so.
Crystal from Campbelltown. Now, Crystal, whose name is it?
It's mine.
Okay, Crystal.
Okay, you go first, Cheesy, because I'm in the mood to get it straight up.
I know you are. Crystal is a I'm trying to, that's a normal spelling, isn't it? C-H-R-S-T-E-L. C-H-R.
No. Okay. Christelle.
You didn't say Christelle, she said Crystal.
Yeah, but sorry, I'm thinking phonetically.
Oh, no, all right.
Christelle. K-R-I-S-T-E-L-L-E.
No.
All right, one more. Crystal. K-R-I-S-T-O-L.
No.
Go.
Last chance. Go, Aaron. One more.
Oh, okay. Just say it again how you'd say it.
Crystal.
Yep. C-H-R-I-S-T-L. Crystal.
No.
All right. Give it to us.
C-H-R-I-S-T-E-L.
Oh, for God's sake.
Christel.
It's so simple, one small change, but so significant.
Yeah, no, we're none for two. Can
Thanks,
we
Crystal.
Do one more? And let's try to get it done.
Come
on. Here comes Rebecca from Blacktown. Are these your own children, Rebecca?
Yes, they are.
All right, well, give us one. Give us the boy's name.
You do the boy and I'll do the girl. Oh, no.
Okay,
I'll do the boy. What is it, Rebecca?
Cody.
Code E. Cody. Code. C-O-D-E-E.
No.
All right, give it to us. What is it?
K-H-O-D-I.
Yeah, no, that was impossible. Jeez.
Brilliant.
That's never impossible.
Yep.
So, and the girl, I'm going to do the girl. What's her name?
Jasmine.
J-A-Z-M-E-N.
No, close.
What is it?
J-A-Z-M-Y-N.
Oh,
I was close. I nearly had it.
Yeah, but I was close with the Ryan.
No, that was almost a Lecky moment. Susie, Ed and Erin. Carrie Bickmore has left the project to focus on Carrie and Tommy, the radio show, which is on this station every day
that
from 3 p.m.
That is amazing and doesn't need any more focus than she was previously giving it. But gosh, it's just going to go from strength to strength now.
No doubt about it. But, you know, last night it was on television on the project that they had a final night, and I was invited back because I started that show along with her and Charlie Pickering and Ruby Rose and James Matheson, who only lasted a couple of weeks. But
how come?
I don't know. It just didn't feel it was right for them or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they've gone on to great things.
Absolutely.
But, you know, the tributes pouring in for Carrie last night were next level. The Prime Minister demanded airtime. He went on and banged on about it.
It was
Carrie.
It was super emotional. It was, and look, I kind of look, and it was almost this pattern of the longer you'd been a part of the project, whether that had continued or not, the more emotional it was. So I watched Rachel Corbett, I think, had been there for 7 years sobbing, but she's pregnant, so there was probably hormones involved there as well. And I saw Steve Price, who's been there for a few years, and
been there for 12 years. Yeah,
12 years.
Yeah.
1 year less than you.
Yes.
Well, he did this.
Yeah, you're the most impressive person I've ever worked with, to be honest.
Well, that's not true.
It is true. No, it is. I've been working 50 years. I've never met anyone as generous as you.
Look at this.
Oh, I see.
Sorry.
I mean, even that surprised me.
I mean it. I'm not just saying that. I mean, you're incredible. You know that.
I must say, I was in the green room when that happened, and he was wearing a similar shirt to what I had on, and I'm like, I've got nowhere to go. He said she's the most impressive person he's ever been with on TV in 50 years.
You can't better that.
And then he started crying.
Yeah, you can't
better
that.
He's a man in his late 60s.
And he's also like, he's such a hard nut in some ways, but such a softy in other ways. And look, he absolutely nailed that.
I was left with nowhere to go.
But see, why is that your focus, though? The night was about Carrie. So why was that your focus?
The night was a competition to see who could say the most powerful words about Carrie, and it was so intense.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It was a really hard competition.
And you're a diamond, you know. You pressure makes diamonds, and you, having watched everyone else's, being the only original other member there.
Oh, God. Charlie was there as well.
Yeah, but whatever, he was meh. You were the only other original member there in our eyes, and you came up with this.
Carrie, you've done an amazing job. For you to stay here for 13 years and to be the brilliant performer you've been.
Trained, yeah.
No, this is hard work, this show. You guys know it's every single day.
It's practically 2 days a week for Carrie.
Yeah, I mean.
I didn't realise she was.
Basically. Said the only reason you're still here or you survived is because you just turned up. You know, others along the way just stopped showing up. You just turned up. So you couldn't compete with Pricey, so you went the complete opposite way.
Look, you know what? They say 90% of getting a job done is turning up, don't they?
They do.
And she has turned up.
Yep.
Absolutely. And, you know, she was down to 3 days a week, which I wasn't aware of. But
just was so emotional when you said that.
Got a dryer in the house.
Susie, Ed and Erin.
Now, the other morning, the story broke through that Prince Harry, when he was 21, went out with a woman who was 34. And, it was a passionate affair. And it was then we got talking about younger men, older women. And we've got Blake coming up, Erin, after 8 o'clock, who's he was 20 and he went out with a woman who was in her
38. And we set him up yesterday on a hot date with a 46-year-old flight attendant. He's now 22. So we're going to get the lowdown from both of them about how that went. So it's been a bit of a theme this week on the show.
And then we got a call from a beautiful woman called Christine who told us this story.
I used to go to this jazz club. I had an instant attraction with the drummer. Actually, we didn't really know each other very well, but this was a mutual attraction.
Of course.
So he started coming to my house
Yep.
after the band had finished.
Thank you.
And we would, yeah.
Do it.
Do lots of good things.
And she joins us in the studio. Welcome to the show, Christine.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Gosh, you are, and I don't like to focus on looks because they are the least important thing about any person, but my gosh, you are a beautiful woman. I am actually, I feel almost, yeah, I don't know, I feel...
Unworthy, so I think it's worth using.
I feel unworthy sitting next to you.
Thank you, Erin. Thank you.
Now, Krista, we haven't got the headline here. A lady doesn't like to say her age, but you did on the radio the other day. You're nearly 74?
I'll be 74 this month.
Yes, mm-hmm. and the drummer that you spoke of on the phone call, he's in his 20s.
Yes, he would probably be 28 or 30 now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we are just blown away by your youthfulness and your youthful attitude to life.
Is it something that we should all aspire to? Is it an attitude thing, do you think?
I think quite a lot of it would be attitude. Attitude and your confidence.
Yeah.
I think confidence is a big factor. And I think the attraction. Some people have this very fatal attraction. Oh, hopefully not fatal.
But hey!
Attraction. Maybe that's what's happening to me.
Yeah, and it just happens.
Yeah.
But you know what? It does. But it doesn't just happen for a lot of people, and men and women, the talk of when they reach a certain age, they become invisible. You know, is it generally over 50? Is it what is they say about women, especially becoming invisible over 50?
No.
No, well, that's a thing.
That doesn't apply to me.
No, it doesn't apply to you.
But
I know what you mean. A lot of women feel that way, that when if they're a certain weight or if they're a certain age, they suddenly become invisible. But it's interesting because I'm hoping there's a shift in that. And not because women are staying more attractive for longer. But just because it's completely ridiculous, the whole concept of it.
Yeah. And also, I guess I'm a little bit vain, but I'd like to explain that as self-esteem.
No, absolutely. Yeah. It makes you feel good. So dressing up, looking good,
We're going to get tips of Christine on how to stay at your prime as the decades roll on.
Fantastic.
But you have, since you said on the phone call the other day, Christine, so from your 40s onwards, basically, you've embraced the single life and embraced opportunities. Is that fair to say?
That would be very fair to say.
You're super attractive now. Were you, like a lot of people I know, kind of later in life really came into their own and are the sexiest they've ever been? But I'm just making a call here. Have you always been very attractive? Like, have you always been hot?
I have been told by a lot of people, particularly men. Yeah. And I always seem to attract a lot of men. Yeah. Like, have that.
All right. But that's obviously, Christine, that's is sometimes a worry for women and men because they're defined by how attractive they are when they're younger, and when they get older, that seems to fade away and then they lose their essence because of that. But it hasn't happened to you.
Yeah,
and
if that's your only currency, that's the issue, isn't it, Husey? Hmm. If that's all you value or all you think you've got, that's where it becomes an issue. But you clearly have a lot more than that.
Yeah, I think it's the way you present yourself, the way you dress. Yeah, definitely your attitude.
We need to find out more of how you've done it, how you've held on to this.
Absolutely. Christine's going to give us her tips for just being vibrant. Susie, Ed
and Erin. Christine, almost 74. What an absolute ray of light you are, Christine. And we can tell why men in their 20s are attracted to you. So it's just, but how, Erin? We need to know what's the secret.
I know. I'm completely besotted and inspired by this woman. And she was just saying, I'm not the best at everything, or I'm not, this or that. I just live my life to the fullest. And it's so true. You actually don't need to aspire to be the best at everything or anything. She just fills her own cup in this incredible way. Christine, what is it? What's your secret to just having this, from the outside looking in, this incredible existence?
Energy.
Yes.
It's probably number one. I'm a little bit flirtatious.
Oh, yes.
Slightly.
So, Christian, if you're at the shops and you're just buying some bread and milk and you see a handsome man, you will eyeball him?
Definitely.
Yep, right.
I love that so much. So how does it work? So you wouldn't, you don't look like you eat bread, but you'd be what, in the bakery aisle? He'd be in the banana stand.
Oh, that's interesting.
And what would you do? Do you just, because you've got to linger that little bit longer because men are so bloody insecure. You've got to let them know that you're a bit keen, don't you?
Well, I'd make sure I'd sort of follow him to the aisle where he is.
Yeah.
Even if I wasn't particularly going shopping in that aisle.
This is the good stuff.
Yes.
And then try to get his attention.
Yes. Would you drop something and bend and snap?
No, I'd probably just pass by very casually.
Oof.
But just give a smile.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And then flick your finger up to show that you're not taken.
No, I don't even worry about that one.
No,
I think this is a confidence thing, but I think if you see somebody and you think, wow, that's really attractive person, and they're sort of like an instant chemistry.
Yes, I know that so well.
The chemistry, that's everything, isn't it?
The chemistry is you make eyes with someone, you see someone, and you know straight away if there's just this mind-blowing connection.
And it's got me into trouble a few times.
Yeah. Great. So, but age is never, you don't factor their age. As we say, we've got to know you because you rang us about this 20-something-year-old drummer. So,
right.
So you don't care how, you know, obviously they've got to be, you know.
Legal.
Legal. But yeah, you just, you don't even think about it. You just always, you're a chance, aren't you?
We never talk about age. Age is not a factor that comes into it.
Who cares about age?
I've never actually even mentioned age. So with the drummer, for example, I don't ever remember talking about age. He told me his age, maybe because I asked him, but that's never a factor, age.
Yeah,
it's just more this, with the drummer, I know, I just met him there, and it was like this very instant attraction, and it was reciprocated.
Yes, because that's the key, isn't it? Because, I mean, you can see that guy in Woolies, but it's got to be mutual, doesn't it?
It has to be
mutual. Have you ever worked, really worked on someone to the point where you've convinced them?
Not really. It's pretty well just happened for me.
You don't have to convince them.
I know.
Neither
have I, by the way.
No,
of course not.
So you've got you're not retiring from work. You still work full time. You're almost 74. You still work full time. You're a grandmother. You're busy. You're doing so much. You've just kept yourself so busy for so long.
And love music.
You were just dancing with me in the ad break. Did you see our moves, boys? What did you think?
Fantastic stuff.
Well, I know that, obviously, here.
It's something you can't put on. I think I dress young, but I'm not putting that on. That's just the way I am.
Yes.
So it's just we should we.
Yep.
So what can you do?
So authenticity. Don't pretend to be anything other than what you are.
No, never pretend. It comes naturally. Great.
Yes.
I think you're a national treasure.
I think so too.
I love this stuff.
You're an icon. You are something to be. There should be a book written about you.
Well, honestly, that would be great. Then I'd retire from teaching and just live on the profits.
Right. Actually, books really, I mean, unless you're J.K. Rowling, they're hard books, aren't they, boys?
But you never want to retire. The fact is, I don't think Christine ever wants to retire because she is always got that energy and needs an outlet.
Yes. Right? So probably always will be doing this particular job. Yeah. But I love what I'm doing as well. So I love life, actually.
Can I just ask quickly on the energy thing? Because a lot of people will be listening now and thinking, yeah, I'd love to have energy, but I'm completely exhausted, work full time, look after 3 kids under 3, blah, 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 blah. How do you get, from where can you get energy? Do you eat well? Are you not a big drinker? Do you get enough sleep? Because just the practical kind of side of having energy, I struggle with.
I have to admit, I don't eat well.
Great.
Actually.
What?
And it's amazing.
I don't, because I'm always rushing.
Yep, great.
Like to work. I don't eat well.
Do you love a drink?
Yeah, I don't drink that much. I like white wine. I love brandy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, maybe that's the secret. Brandy. It's a very classical drink.
Which is not many brandies. You're having one little brandy a day? Or how often are you having brandy?
On average, two.
Two brandies a day?
Ow!
That's the secret.
We've got it. That's what I was looking for. Something practical we can all do at home. And just quickly, Ed, before you go, you had a question from your friend Kylie.
Oh, yes. Kylie would like to know the title of the book that you spoke about.
Yes, and I'm still getting messages about this. We did this a couple of weeks ago. It's Colleen Hoover, and it's called It Ends With Us. It Ends With Us. So I know Kylie's listening and wanted that book, and I'm still getting a lot of messages. So it's brilliant. Colleen Hoover, It Ends With Us.
You know what? It never ends with Christine. Yeah. Here we go. Goes and goes.
Thank you, Christine.
Susie, Ed and Erin.
So, very emotional day for the Hugheses yesterday. Our oldest pet, Teddy, who we got in just the start of 2007 when he was, I think he was a year old. He was a rescue cat, and we saved his life back then. And we've had 16, 17 years with him, and I think we've had a great time together. Reminds me of the Green Day song.
I hope you had the time of your life.
He's been there through the birth of our three children.
Was he, wasn't like in,
he was
I don't
probably
know what,
in, he was in probably the in the room at the conception of some of our children.
Because
we always got an open door policy,
yeah.
And Teddy just likes to hang out sometimes. So he may have been on the bed, actually.
Lovely.
Are you sure that some of them aren't his?
We've often had times where Teddy would sense that we wanted to have. Not his, he was spayed. None of the children are his.
Just say, wrap his bear.
No, but we'd always go, Teddy, come on, Teddy. We want to have a moment.
Yeah.
And so we would not get him off the bed, but just push him to the end of the bed.
Beautiful.
So you've got to be at the end of the bed.
Do you get self-conscious in front of pets? I've never had
sometimes
any.
Sometimes I'd see him judging me. I knew he was judging me, going, thinking I can do better than you. Well, you can't. It's not going to happen. Anyway, so we have a love, Teddy, but we had some news from the vet the other day, actually, saying that he's got a... He had cancer in his mouth, and it was just too much for him to bear, and it was going to be too hard. And at the age of 16, the decision was made that Teddy was his last day on earth was going to be yesterday. It's the it was a big day.
Yeah. How?
We bought him some of his favourite food. I bought him. Went to the supermarket and bought him his favourite.
What's his favourite food?
It was a dine in the. A circular dine can.
So, beautiful. So,
he did. Look, he couldn't eat it all, but he did have a go at it, which was lovely.
Oh, and that makes me feel so sad. And did you hold him? Like, how did
we were all there. We did it at home. We got someone to come around. There, a lovely man came around and talked us through the process. All the kids were patting and crying and hugging Teddy. Goodness. And, he gets a little... A little injection just to make him sort of sleepy. And, he went to sleep in our arms and it was beautiful.
Oh, I'm so
it was beautiful.
Sorry.
And, it was lovely. Yeah. And so it was 16 years, a long time, 16, 17 years of your life to have Teddy with us. And we're getting him cremated. So, so he's going to be cremated. Got the basic cremation job. And...
as in, were there different levels? Were there? And you,
there's different levels you can have. Different.
You went basic.
You can have it. You can have a ceramic cat.
Oh wow!
Which is an upper level. We talked to a woman yesterday. You got the ceramic cat. So we won't get the ceramic cat. We'll get the basic cat. Basic, and it's the lid off job. And no, we're going to spread some of Teddy in the backyard where he hung for years, and we're going to put some of him in the laundry where he spent a lot of time.
That's beautiful.
Just next to the washing machine where Teddy spent his later years.
Yeah. And look, I know, you're a very funny man and you're very funny jokes, but we know that it was really hard for you and for Holly and the kids.
Teddy.
So
we love Teddy.
We're thinking of you.
I tell you what, when it's really going to hit home is 4 o'clock this afternoon where Teddy normally just goes, where's dinner? Where is dinner? I'm ready, man. I've had a hard day. Where's my dinner? And he won't shut up until you feed him. So, no, there's a big hole that's going to be left in the Hughes house. Yeah. And, anyway, we're smiling because it happened.
Thank you.
No, that's beautiful.
Bloody beautiful cat.
We're thinking of you and, all the family.
Hughesy, Ed and Erin.
So we've already spoken to beautiful Christine today, who's almost 74, and her love life is full, and she's meeting guys in their 20s and having a great time, isn't she, Erin?
She's very inspiring and not just for that reason, because that's not everyone's cup of tea, but she's just got so much energy and she's doing whatever makes her happy and just taking life with two big hands.
And we only got to meet her because we talked about Prince Harry and the fact when he was 21, he went out with a woman who was 34 and we started talking about younger blokes, older ladies, and we got a phone call from a young lad called Blake.
Mm-hmm.
I was 20 and she was 38.
Where did you meet her, Blake?
Well, that's the good part. I met her at my best mate's house. She was my best mate's mum's friend.
We got Blake in, mm-hmm. didn't we?
We met him in person because we wanted to check, because sometimes photos and voices can be deceiving.
And we got blown away by how gentlemanly he was, mm-hmm. and how handsome he was, how well-built he was, how good he smelt. Just everything, wasn't it, Aaron?
It's a
everything.
Real kind of ticker yeah. every boxer. Just a lovely young man. And you made the point that it'd be lovely if I was his mum. And his mum then reached out to me, and which was somewhat surprising, because she wanted to talk to the woman he chose to go on a date with. So we set him up, and he chose. Who did he choose?
He chose Jenny. Were you that? How that happened? Blake, who are you going to pick to go on a date with?
Well, I do love food. Oh. I think I'm going to go with Jenny. I love to travel.
Jenny, the flight attendant from NASCAR, 46 years old. You're going on a date with Blake, 22 years old.
Oh, my God.
And so we got Blake's mum on, as you say.
She reached out to you. Yeah, she wanted to speak. Well, she wanted to say she was proud of being his mum, but also wanted to check that Jenny was the right kind of girl for her son.
We were wondering, like, we're sitting at family dinner, which we do because we're a close unit. How would you go, like, at family dinner when you're kind of the same age as us? How would that go for you?
Oh, that would be even better, I think.
Yeah.
A few bottles of wine, a few gins, I think it'll be fine.
Thought that was a shot across Jenny's bow.
Oh.
But yesterday was when the date happened. We are going to speak to the two of them, but can we just hear, this is them just pre-date?
20 minutes late. Where are you, Jenny?
How are you?
It's an early one for us, hey?
It is. Espresso martini, maybe?
Yeah.
A bit of coffee.
Get amongst that.
Yeah, something like that.
Get amongst that.
Jeez.
Amongst that, eh, Blake?
How amongst it did he get?
Midday.
Susie, Ed and Aaron.
We've also got a story involving massive international celebrities and with a show connection. There's a new romance blossoming in the world, making world headlines.
Yep.
And did one woman have to get out of the way for that to happen? Aaron will tell us that story. But right now, 22-year-old Blake, 46-year-old Jenny.
We set them up, yep, on this show.
And on the day when Australia beat Denmark and made their way to the next round of the World Cup, anything is possible.
Oh my God.
This was a Hail Mary. Two people had never met before.
Yep.
We threw them together on a date.
From different walks of life, different generations, different eras.
46-year-old Jenny's already sort of been warned by Blake's mum to be careful.
Leave my son alone.
No, it wasn't quite
no,
that.
Right.
It was just
my interpretation of it. Yep.
Tread carefully.
No, Ellie was lovely. Is lovely.
I don't think Blake is a kiss and tell sort of guy. He's a true gentleman.
Well, that's why we've got to go to Jenny.
Yeah, you are a true gentleman, aren't you, Blake?
I like to think so, guys. I do like to think so.
God.
We'll let Jenny tell the story then.
Jenny? Jenny.
Yeah.
You had lunch yesterday.
Here.
You had an espresso martini. You ate burgers.
Yep.
Did you and Blake kiss?
Yes, we did.
Ah! Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm so happy. Oh, my God. Who instigated? Who lent in? Was it at the burger joint?
At the front, yeah.
At the front? We're talking 2 o'clock in the afternoon, bright sunshine. We're talking cars going past.
A lot of foot traffic as well. A lot of foot traffic.
Oh, my God.
Yes, the light rail.
Who instigated? Blake, was it you?
I would say it was a mutual.
Oh, it had to happen. It was biology. It was chemistry.
Jenny.
It was inevitable.
Jenny.
Yes, I agree.
Are your kids going to call him Dad?
No, not yet.
Yep.
No,
okay,
no.
Sorry, I get carried away.
Let's just leave the kids out of it for a little while. Then, has there been messaging since?
Yes.
Yes!
Our work here is done.
It's not a passion dash.
This is brilliant. Oh, my God. We're so happy. And look, no pressure,
this is
but
it.
we Yeah, we're so happy you guys had a great time. This is amazing.
Listen to this radio show. Everything is possible.
It's all possible. First the Stopperoos, now this.
Oh.
Thank you so much. We'll...
Oh, this is brilliant. I'm so happy.
Go to the socials to see those two.
See those two, the happy couple. News time, your Harry Styles tickets, and a global international superstar has found love. But as Yuzi said, one woman had to step out of the running.
Sorry, we had this conversation yesterday, this and I was asked, do you want us to do this on air? And I said, oh, let me think about it. Then all of a sudden... You two are teasing it live on the radio.
What is Erin Molan's connection with Miley Cyrus?
Susie, Ed and Erin.
When one door closes, another one opens. When Christine, who's now almost 74, when her door closed on her marriage when she was in her early 40s, other doors opened and have been open for 30 years. We love Christine. Mm-hmm. Jenny, 46-year-old flight attendant, when she broke up with her partner, door closed. Door opened yesterday.
Blake.
22-year-old Blake, who we just spoke to. They've got it on. Erin, a door closed on your relationship last year, wasn't it? It was over 12 months ago now.
Yeah, definitely over 12 months ago. Kind of mid to late last year, I separated from my partner at the time, father of my little girl, and we've been together about 5 years or so. So, yeah, it's been a bit over a year.
Other doors opened, whether you walk through them or not, is your choice, but... A big new Hollywood relationship has been announced, and we're going to say who it is in a minute. But before we say who it is, let's go back to our radio show and something that we discussed a little while ago. We're not going to name names, but a Hollywood star, Ed, and you agree, this person is a big-time Hollywood star.
Yep.
Has slid into Erin's DMs. They have... offered you advice, we believe, Erin, on being a single parent.
Just randomly, a message came through yesterday from said person, and it was really, really lovely.
And I know you're uncomfortable with this, but we're going to do it. You and that person ended up, you know, conversing.
We spoke on the phone for
a while. A
but just as it was just lovely to connect with someone who's been through what I've been through.
Oh, but fair to say that the hours flew by. He will be in this country at some point in the not too distant future, but a few months away. Does Erin wait?
Oh.
Does she wait? Oh. Or does she break that man's heart by eventually ghosting him? And does he end up in a very high profile relationship which made international headlines this week? Yes is the answer. Have a listen to this.
Tish Cyrus is ready for a second chance at love. Tish is revealing her new romance with Prison Break star Dominic Purcell.
I didn't ghost him.
You broke Dom Purcell's heart. I did not.
That is... Oh, for God's sake. Is that Miley's dad? Oh,
yes.
For the love of God. No.
Now,
no.
He is with the ex-wife of Billy Ray Cyrus.
You put me... Okay, so he is such a lovely guy. He was so beautiful. And at that time, he was incredible. He was so lovely. It wasn't the right timing for me. It was too soon after my last relationship, but he was so beautiful and sweet, and he is such a catch for Tish Cyrus.
He was in love with you, and now as second prize, he's going to become Miley Cyrus's stepdad.
He's not going to, well, who knows, but I'm so happy for him because he's genuinely one of the loveliest guys, and his ex-partner, Anna Lynn McCord, who's a Hollywood star, who was in 90210 and a heap of other kind of shows, I spoke to her on the phone a couple of times when we were kind of...
Wow.
As well, and she spoke so incredibly highly of him as well, and I just went, anyone whose ex-partners speak that highly of them, and yeah, he's an incredible human being, and I'm super happy for him.
I know for a fact that Dom Purcell was in love with you, and you did not reciprocate that love.
No, that is not true. That
Come
is
on,
no, I. It
and
was,
now he's gone. He's got away.
He is so lovely. He's the most beautiful man, and I'm so happy for him.
Good. So you, his relationship with the mother of Miley Cyrus has got your full blessing.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Full blessing.
I'm so happy. He's such a lovely guy.
It's a full blessing.
Susie, Ed, and Erin.